All right, so are we ready to get started?
In other words, Kirk started the podcast.
I've started the podcast. Marcel, are we ready?
Hell yeah.
See how he's talking purposely deeper in order to sound more masculine on the podcast?
That is exactly correct, Corey.
He doesn't actually talk like this.
If he needs to sound better, that
isn't makes that. Sense. No, that is not that bad.
See how your voice just went up like 50 frequency points?
Anyway, today with episode 4 on the podcast, Marcel. I was about to roast you, but I won't. I got Marcel on my right, Corey in front of me, and new guest, Ben, who's waving at me. You can't actually hear anyone when you wave, Ben.
Hello.
Ben's here. He's our honorary guest for today. But Marcel is returned for another episode of the Project Cars podcast. We got four people here this time.
Love me too much, you know.
Exactly. We got four people here this time, and let's get this show on the road.
I really wasn't ready for that.
Very disappointed. Talking about disappointed things. I think we always start off with something disappointing.
Kirk's car.
Marcel's life.
Okay, let's. This is just turning into a roast fest already. But
you brought your car into it. Wait for topic seven. It's all good.
We're talking about. Actually, I should chuck in my roast in there, but I won't. I'm not going to roast the $5,000 car. But that's okay. We're going to get started with things that we're pissed off about. With the Aussie government. There's a few things, but because this is a car podcast, we have to get pissed off about the car stuff. If you're listening and you don't live in Australia, obviously, there is the one thing that's probably very, I guess, not many people know about. Who wants to start off and explain their frustration? I think you all know exactly what I'm talking about. What is it? What am I frustrated about? What's the one legal rule that Australia has? That prevents you from using cars properly.
In terms of P-plate cars.
There are so many of them.
P-plate cars.
Start with the basic.
Are we talking about restrictions? Yes.
So this is, we're talking about restrictions. This
like
is
the, power?
Yeah, this is when you're under 22 years old, you cannot get a certain car that is over a specific power to weight ratio.
What, a 350Z, you can't. That's small as shit.
That's awesome. In other words, to educate, Victorian road rules, we can't have anything more than 130 kilowatts per ton.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. It's 130 watts per kilo, which is just a lower thing for each one. But yeah, every single car that's over that limit, you can't drive. Full stop.
And I believe anything with 8 cylinders or more as well.
Mm-hmm. Anything 8 cylinders or more, anything with over 130 watts per kilogram, you can't drive. Now, the thing I wanted to talk about here is, do you think that there should be a little? They should revamp that system, because there's a few cars that are. I guess over that, but they aren't that powerful at all, in my opinion.
Well, I think Marcel found one earlier today. There's a couple in terms of Audi. I think you were looking at an SQ7. Yeah. That's a 4.9 second car. Just the pure fact that it's quite heavy makes it legal. There's a lot of loops in the system.
Exactly. Like that is P-plate approved. That does 0-60 in 4.9 seconds. By the way, you can only go to 100 k's an hour on the road. Like, you can't go any faster than that in Australia unless you're in the outback. But that car is legal, but a car something like the Megane RS or the Scirocco R, which do 6 seconds, or the Golf R, which does 5.5, that's legal. Not illegal.
The Golf R, sorry.
That's illegal. So this is where I'm kind of thinking, should the rules be changed, and what type of things could they kind of, I guess, mix in or like change it up, if you know what I mean?
I'm not completely sure, because there's a lot of these rules like you're talking about, but you know, sometimes it all falls through. There are certain cars that probably shouldn't be legal.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, there are definitely cars that are illegal that probably should be legal. And the system, they've just done a very base, an overview of what they believe is ideal. I mean, personally, I don't think my WRX should be legal.
Yeah.
That thing's got too much kick from 80 kilometers an hour. There's points where it just becomes unrealistic.
Because, like, I think that does make sense. Exactly what you said there, Corey. The main problem is that, well, you can get a really powerful car through a bit of a few loopholes, but then you can get a slower car that's not legal, if that makes sense. All the things before they did this new power to weight ratio rule, it was all cars that were turbocharged and all cars that had more than 6 cylinders. But now with the environmental laws, all turbocharged cars are used to, you know, keep the fuel economy up.
Yeah, fuel efficiency.
Like, yeah. But I know Ben's definitely giving me bad looks over there, because he doesn't like this rule either. I think it's definitely something that they're shaped.
Yeah, should Ben, going in as a P-plater soon, what kind of like cars excite you? But do you know the P-plate laws? Like, are you aware of?
I know some of them. It's like,
There's definitely a few out there. Yeah. There's a few cool cars out there.
Sorry, can you not really?
No, Marcel, please. Marcel, you've been silent for 5 minutes. I'm missing you.
All right.
Jaguar F-Type, is that legal? No.
We'll get to that in a second. But yeah, there are definitely... Can you name any cars that you think that... The cars that you like in general that you...
Yeah, what
like
kind of cars do you... You tell me the cars you like and we'll tell if they're legal or not.
Any cars.
Porsche 911.
There we go. That's illegal. Very illegal.
Very illegal.
So it's good that you bring that up because a car like that represents, like, if you want to buy that because you're successful, that makes sense. If you become, if you make a lot of money within the next 4 years, you can't buy that car.
Yeah. It's,
so my main argument is the government is promoting you not to be successful and
you
can't
buy nice
cars.
Do you know what
I
think is really stupid? The reason for all those rules is to get rid of the dickheads who drive pimped out Commodores, you know, and just like they're too dumb to know that you can't drive 200 on a dirt road, you know? Mm-hmm. Like it's all in the end, they really what they care about is top speed, but acceleration, it's irrelevant, but they still bitch about it. But then like someone who, if you can afford to buy a Jaguar F-Type, you're probably smart enough to know not to fuck the car up. Like it's, I think they should seriously... It should be more based on the actual car itself opposed to just what its specs are because it's so irrelevant.
100%. And these all laws are put in for the dumbest person.
Like, I'd like to see someone spin out a fucking Golf. Yeah. Like, it's a lot harder to do that than just spin out of territory, for example.
Yeah. Oh, I've seen you conquer train tracks. I agree.
You know what I mean? Like,
100%.
It doesn't matter what, because, I mean, no matter what, I can still accelerate quickly and whip my wheel hard sideways and do some sort of damage.
Yeah.
No matter what, like, if I'm in a rear-wheel drive Commodore, it might be a bit easier, but... Still, I mean, I just think it's out of touch.
Yeah, but I think that they're definitely... Because, like, the fastest car so far, we keep finding faster ones. The first, the main fastest one I found was the Audi TTS. And then I found that the Tesla Model S 75D is the fastest car you can get that is P-plate approved. But the funny thing is, it does 0 to 60 in 4.2 seconds. But the reason why it's P-plate approved is because it's got an extra massive battery in the middle of the car that makes it that much heavier. Which is why it's P-plate approved. It's super quick. It's in fact, it's 2 seconds quicker than something like a Scirocco R. And it's well under the power to weight ratio thing, which makes it legal.
In saying that, I kind of agree with what they're doing in terms of the laws, because what other chance do they have to, you know, stop these types of cars? They can't. There's no other way to make the rules any more simple or any more clear to those who just don't understand them enough to do anything about it.
Mm.
They've made them straightforward for a reason, and as frustrating as it may be, I kind of agree with it.
Just ban all Commodores.
Ban all the Commodores. Yeah,
the only reason these.
So what happens to the Lancers and the Nissans and all those, you know, souped up Japanese domestic vehicles?
The old MX-5s.
Look, I don't want to offend anyone.
Yeah,
but
the Skylines. Thank you, Ben.
I'm noticing a very big difference in the types of owners, and I feel like someone who owns if you spend all your no, think about someone who owns, you know, like
the racist.
I'm trying to think like you, okay, your car, yeah. You spend like you park your car a meter off the curb because you're so scared to scratch the wheels. You're not gonna put that car in any way in any danger. But someone with like a shitty pimped out Commodore, all they give a fuck about is seeing how much they can slide it.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's, I just feel like there's a different attitude with types of owners. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
I think what I reckon, this is what I'm going to suggest to the government, is that you get your P-plate license for the first 6 months. If you don't get any tickets and you represent that you're a good driver, good behavior on whatever car it is, under the P-plate approved thing, I reckon they should bump it up the weights per kilos as well. You can then get tiers of new cars. So I reckon that's what should be there.
I think it shouldn't be just no tickets. I think it should be specifically like in terms of the weight.
Oh, I think it should be no tickets. So that means you can't drive on your car.
No. I think more dangerous driving. Like if you're found like on the side of a road with your car flipped, like
yeah. And also
it's obviously a hint you can't drive a shit.
And also, for example, if it's like 40 kilometers over. You should definitely get ticketed. But yeah, there's definitely rules and regulations that should be changed in order for us to drive better cars.
I'm just going
to
keep moving forward with this topic and probably more into the perspective of cars in general. What do you think is an ideal 0 to 60 time that isn't too ridiculous? Considering all we can really do is, 100 kilometers an hour. So what is not necessary and what is probably daily driver worth?
I think, the reason why we're saying 0 to 60 is because you can't take cars over that speed. Well, you can, but legally.
60 kilometers an hour?
100K, 60 miles per hour. So, what do you think is the optimal time, 0 to 100, For the road. You have to drive it every day. We'll go around.
Yeah, we'll go around. I'll go first. So I'll say anything under 4.8 seconds.
Yep.
Anything between 5.2 and 4.8.
Yeah, I think...
Not too ridiculously fast that the car drinks fuel like no tomorrow, but daily driver worthy enough to have a bit of fun.
Yeah. Ben, what do you think? Have you... anything under... what's a good speed for you on the road every day?
Well, I agree with Corey with this one. Like yeah. 4.5, was it?
Yeah, I think, yeah, something like that. That's good. I think between... I agree with that as well.
Nothing too ludicrous subbing threes, because... Daily driver worthy, you can't daily drive a car sub 3 seconds.
Because I guess people will argue you can, but like fuel economy as well. Like you just get you get annoyed about it.
Yeah, try parking on Chapel Street, I dare you.
Yeah.
But you say that, but you say you can't drive it like that, so then why ban it? What's the point of banning cars which are that quick if you can't even accelerate that quickly?
The thing is, like the point of banning cars like that is so people that drive Commodores can't buy those cars. That's purely
It's true, but I'm saying if you're gonna make, I don't think acceleration is really important.
I think it is the main thing.
I feel like a car which goes 0 to 100 in 1 second is a lot less dangerous than a car which goes 0 to 100. Hear me out here. In 10, but has zero traction control and no tread in its
wheels. Yeah, no,
every
sense.
Car, in order to pass standards, has traction control and ABS. Otherwise, they wouldn't provide them unless they were X many years old. They won't get a road.
But old cars, I'm saying. Like someone who goes
they
and
won't,
buys...
Yeah, but by old, you mean the last 10 years? They all do. And
older. What is that thing?
But who drives cars older than 10 years?
But actually, one thing with that...
It's very rare. It's very rare.
Flogged it around the Apple Peel. Then crashed it.
One thing is with that, prior to 2010... nothing to do with power to weight ratio. It has everything to do with how many cylinders it has and how much power the actual car has.
So no more than six.
So older
but that car Jack drives though. What's the car he flogs? You know what I mean though. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's still got traction control.
Yes, it does.
It does.
Yep.
Marcel, every car.
Oh, sure. I did not know that.
There
you go. I didn't think
if
it did.
Longer.
Anyway, the point is what we're saying is that with these 0 to 60 times, I think. Every day, I think around between 4 and 5 seconds is quite useful. It's not too fast, and it is a decent time for every day on the road, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's not exactly hardcore enough to be dangerous, and it's probably more on the safer side.
So what cars do 0-60 in 4 to 5 seconds? You have, I know, just this is what I'm just saying. You have the A45, the Golf R, all the Caymans, the Boxsters. What else does 0-60 in 4 seconds? Think about it. Mustangs, they do it as well.
The Merc you're into?
The A45. That's what I just said.
Oh, you meant sorry.
What else?
Six-cylinder F-type.
Yeah, that was 5 seconds. No. I was 5.5 actually. Yes.
Really, that's actually
5.2.
Quite slow.
5.2, something like that. But no, I think even between
slow.
I think
slow.
To be anything under six is quite. You'll notice the difference.
So I'll get bored in 5.2. I reckon.
Yeah, but I think the main thing is as long as when you put your foot down on the accelerator and you can feel that acceleration. I think if you can't feel the acceleration, there's no point. But when you can feel it, I'd be happy with it.
That's very good, Kirk.
I'd be happy with it. I'm just going to say I'd be happy with
is
it.
That's, okay, cool. So,
because then again,
I'm going to write that down and show that to you whenever you bitch about my F-part.
like five years down the track. Oh, Kirk, remember that time when you said that you'd be happy with it when you can feel that power?
Yeah, well, fucking feel this, mate.
I'm going to get back that. But talking about power, when you go to buy a new car, you want to get the most powerful car. Now, there's this guy, I think he was in Florida. I don't remember where he was, but he just bought a new $400,000 or $800,000 car. Ferrari F430 Scuderia. There's 1,600 of these built, and I'm just going to start by saying that there is now 1,599 of them left.
Doesn't that happen with every single Ferrari spec after at least one catches fire?
Yeah. So this is actually kind of talking about the stuff we said. This is also the stuff we were saying before as well. This guy, this is his first supercar that he bought, apparently. Obviously, he can afford it, so you'd think that he'd drive well, but the car was just too powerful for him to handle, and the roads were a little bit wet. And this just shows what happens with even someone that's sophisticated. The car does 0 to 60 in 3.6 seconds, has a 4.3-litre V8 engine. It is a monster of a car, and the guy crashed it, and it got destroyed.
See, that there is how we clean our gene pool.
Mm.
I'm okay with this happening.
you're okay with this happening. I'm glad you're okay with this happening.
See, I don't think he's going to go buy another powerful car for a little bit of time.
Yeah.
Because he utopic. Realizes he can't handle
Proton catches fire.
Well, then now...
only the doors fall off.
And now,
it's all good.
And then now we got to consider whether you're okay to buy the next car then, Marcel. But we'll see how we
yeah,
go.
Yeah, that's a wrong
hey,
word.
I've got a perfect record, all right?
Yeah, we got a perfect record. Anyway, but it is interesting how, like, how would you feel if that just happened to you? I'd be absolutely gutted. I'm not sure what type of insurance he would have, but it'd have to be useful insurance. Because it's expensive.
Oh, fuck,
bill.
It's got no roof. Jesus.
Yeah, the whole thing's gone. If you look at the pictures.
Oh, Jesus.
If you look at the burnt images.
There's no car that's just like rims.
It is, yeah. There is
an exhaust.
There is nothing left. It doesn't look like a Ferrari anymore. They're like the engine is still kind of there, but it is destroyed.
Is this, what color is it?
Black. All black.
Sadly, black it wasn't now. Red.
Wasn't it?
The flames, generic.
The flames would have blended in with the Ferrari, I guess. If it was.
Oh, red. Wait, he was British. Well, that explains.
Almost going
okay,
too fast.
British. Okay. Yeah, but no, it is annoying. It is annoying, and that kind of does show, like, people that are new buying those cars, which is, I guess, why you don't get a P plate or someone that's our
age. How do you crash on a freeway?
Well, it just...
Very easily.
Going in a straight line. How difficult is it?
Actually, it is. That's what happens. When you go from a very an underpowered car to a more powerful car, and you're not used to it, the main thing that happens is a bit of oversteer, especially with those rear-wheel drive cars. You put down a little bit more accelerator than you're used to.
So he was accelerating too quickly then?
Possibly, and the car tails out. Again.
So was he going over 100 or something?
I don't know. This is British roads.
Okay, fair enough.
So I don't know. But like, I'm just saying it is very easy to do that. And once you actually have a crash... I personally haven't had one, thank goodness, and like everyone does in the end. But once you have one, you'll understand that it is quite unfortunate to like, you know, lose control of a car. So this guy's going to be spewing, absolutely spewing. But if you do look at those images there, I think you guys kind of have them up. I'm not sure if you have it up, yep. Corey. But there's something I know Corey knows about this. The Top Gear presenter Richard Hammond.
Oh yeah, yeah.
If you have you heard about these headlines, Marcel or Ben?
When he took his car out. Yeah, of course.
So he was driving a car doing a hill climb in a car called...
It was actually the last run of the day.
Run of the day as well. It's always the day that you crash.
Everything filmed up to this
point. he crashed or went off the track in a hill climb. This is by like going up a mountain, getting as fast as time possible in a car called the Remark Concept 1. It's a fully electric hypercar that is the only car to beat the Porsche 918 Spyder in a straight line.
It is a pretty incredible piece of technology.
It is like a next level. It's like a Tesla rate hypercar. That's what it is. And the thing is that when he crashed, everyone went into a stir that because the car crashed and it caught fire. Thankfully, he only broke his knee, Richard Hammond. But everyone went into big hysterics because the car caught fire and looked like a piece of debris in the end. And they said that a gas car would be a lot better off. So now me just comparing this image here. What's the main thing that comes up in your mind, Corey? Just comparing this image compared to what happened with the Remark.
On which? From the Ferrari to the Remark?
Yeah, like if like everyone's saying like, oh, look at the Remark. It's absolutely destroyed. And then now they're comparing this F430.
Well, no, the Remark is actually...
Which image
pretty,
is this, sorry?
So there is no image. You probably have to search it on Google.
In terms of looking at it. No, the Remark from memory was actually still pretty structured. It was a very strong chassis.
Yeah.
It held its ground really well.
It held its ground. It's an electric car. But the main thing is like people...
Think of the severity of the crash. And
yeah.
The,
he fell
what
down
he
a
suffered.
Cliff.
Yeah.
He fell off a cliff.
He
Richard
flew
Hammond.
Off a cliff.
He flew off a cliff, crashed 30 meters below, and it actually looks better off. It's good for comparison. This happened before the F430, but it actually looks better off than what this F430 looks right now.
In the F430's defense, that's a much older car.
Mm. Oh, this is a new F430. 2016, I believe.
Wait, which ones?
Don't believe they're producing
actually, no,
new
sorry,
ones.
They're not. No. No, they're not.
They haven't produced them in years.
Yeah, true. Yeah, or the crash happened in 2016. But yeah, no, that is a good way to kind of shut down those rumors. I know it's been talked about lots, but it kind of proves that, you know, these electric power cars aren't more dangerous than their gas counterparts, I guess you could say.
Yeah, no, I agree.
The only worry is just the battery.
That's the main argument that everyone had. Is that the battery would cause a lot more fire.
Did it
fire.
Not go up?
Yeah, you worry about the battery and fire, but then you worry about
of course,
petrol
gas.
Tanks
they're
and
all
cars
all, yeah,
and
yeah,
gas.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's probably a lot more volatile like, than a battery
yeah.
is catching fire.
Like the main
that's
thing
explosive.
Is, exactly. Mm. The main thing is that everyone back at the time, everyone was complaining and saying that the main reason why the Concept 1 looked so badly was because it was electric. But now we're just comparing this F430 that did like a little tumble or whatever and look what it looks like.
One thing to consider as well is that the petrol cars, people, no one bitches about thinking, oh, the safety of the petrol tank exploding. Like, no one really cares. They're just, it's just a petrol tank. But the with like a Tesla, obviously Tesla knew they were going to cop a lot of shit for that.
Yeah, 100%.
That's why they're bloody bulletproof.
Like, that is actually a very good point, because lots of people just don't know electric cars that well. That's what you're trying to say.
No, no, I'm saying that Tesla knew people were going to be worried about the whole battery exploding thing. Yeah. And they've put things in place to make sure that doesn't happen.
Yeah, that is right.
Because they're very, very strong.
This is Remark. This is a different
I mean, it's just a concept, though. Yeah. I mean, petrol cars, though, no one's really making much noise about.
I guess people get used to it, because it always happens.
Yeah, exactly. So they're like, oh, they just put a
joke. But like, the main thing is to take away from all this is that, you know, Richard Hammond got out of the car just with a broken knee when he fell off a cliff. And the cars look basically in the same shape as the F430 that also crashed as well. So,
which is pretty incredible.
It is very incredible. Like, I was very surprised that he actually came out alive on that one. Jeremy Clarkson actually said, which is, you know, the co-host of the Grand Tour, said that it was the worst crash he's ever seen in person and on television before. And he actually feared for him. Like, he honestly feared for his friend. So, I think that he's definitely and he's probably seen way more car crashes than anyone else. I've only seen a few on the track, but other than that, like, nothing as bad as what this would have been. So I think it's definitely a good win for electric cars. And for Remark, of course. But yeah, I think just the thing is, everyone was giving Remark shit and Tesla shit for those electric cars. But I guess this kind of moves on to what we want to talk about next. And that is car safety.
Well, we can start off with the fact that they've just introduced the Model 3 recently. I don't think we've spoken about that between our last podcast.
I think we did the speculations last podcast. But again, the Model 3 was introduced. We won't go into the depths now, because everything's basically the same. But the main thing that we're looking at right now is a crash comparison compared to the Model 3 and the current most safest car in the world, the Volvo S60, which is an SUV, I believe. I don't know. I think it's an SUV.
Let me quickly just drag Ben into the equation. Ben, well, you're looking at this here.
Yeah.
What do you see?
Yeah, Ben hasn't seen these images yet. Which image looks safer?
The Tesla, definitely.
by a lot.
But, yeah. But
you can explain why you think that? Because I mean, they can't see anything. So.
Yeah. Oh, but... Well, it shows why the Volvo goes straight through the door and doesn't look like the passenger would survive.
No,
that.
No, definitely not.
And on the other side of this, the Tesla, it doesn't, like, it penetrates the door, but like, yeah, it's still safer. It's like,
yeah, like, I think that the driver in the Volvo is now pancake.
Yeah, definitely.
Mate, they're like,
I just expand the fact that was a huge selling point now for the Model 3.
Yeah.
And that was something Elon Musk spoke about quite highly.
Mm-hmm.
Probably considering he's in a more expensive market and needs to appeal to a large variety of people. In like tossing safety into it now, not only alongside the technology and everything else, this is a huge step, because it's far more appealing.
It's massive.
To look at these images here, it's pretty astonishing to see why you would feel safer, mm-hmm. why you would go with a Tesla, why you would spend the extra money.
Mm. It is huge, and it also promotes the electric car brand as well. Like, that thing did not crumple whatsoever, and I'd be happy to be the test crash pilot as well with that, looking at those images there.
I just want to ask you a few questions in regards to safety though on cars in general. When you're buying cars, when we're looking at cars now, do you even consider safety, or do we just go to the car for the car?
That, like, myself, five stars are relevant now. It's completely useless.
Yeah, but I just want to ask you, like, does it come through your head? You're going to go buy an F-Type tomorrow. Do you care about the safety rating on it or not?
Back when my dad got his S40, he did. That was a massive focus, given obviously I was like tiny. So that was a big thing. It had like booster seats. I mean, it was like back then the S40 was safe as shit.
For family cars, you understand. Yeah.
But now I feel like that it's a standard. It's like I would expect it to be safe. Like, I wouldn't even bother asking, because if it wasn't, I'd be shocked more. So like, I wouldn't even check, because I'd assume.
Well, Mustang's doing great things.
Well, that's interesting. I'm amazed that
is extremely interesting, because of the Mustang, well, looking at it just then, it has a 2-star safety rating. And I was actually at a Ford dealership not too long ago, and it looked fine to me. It actually looked like
just a general... I just don't get how that exists.
They copped a lot of fire for that. They were almost
it should have been
allowed
on the news
to actually
that. Like,
sell cars in Australia because of their safety rating.
For good reason.
Like, oh, no, incredible reason.
Two's embarrassing. Like, even shit cars from 5 years ago have more than that.
Yeah, no, it
was like, pretty
appalling.
Like,
Barinas have 3 or something. Like,
yeah,
it's,
no, it was pretty appalling.
It's crazy. But, like, to go back on Corey's point, I think now, exactly what Marcel said, when I'm going to buy a new car, I actually don't really care about safety.
Well, no, because you know,
you don't care though. It's because you assume it.
Yeah,
like
I assume it. Yeah.
Like, of course, you care about safety, but I mean, if you knew safety was a problem, like back when they got their 40, but
if I was getting, if I had a kid or something like, if I had a kid or something like that, I'd probably go researching for safety.
Who knows? You might have one on the way. Hey Ben, just a quick question.
And another roasting session from Corey Holman.
Ben, just a quick question. Yeah. You're buying a car tomorrow. It's the most exciting car ever, whether it's sort of sporty 86 or whatever you want.
Yeah.
Do you even care if it's safe or not? Or are you just buying the car because it's just a car and you're like obsessed?
Yeah, that's probably the reason why
you would buy the car. Yeah, exactly. It's exactly the same thing. I don't even care about the WRX. Little did I know how safe it was until I actually bought it. I literally just didn't look at it and I didn't care. I was too excited.
Yeah.
I'll admit, Kirk, did you look? You went to buy a Veloster. Did you even contemplate the safety? Or
no, I didn't even. I just assumed.
Yeah,
I didn't
assume. It was just an assumption game. Marcel, how about with you with your Proton Metal Asian Crash
Mobile? I did actually check that. And I was pleasantly surprised.
I'll agree. I just while we're here talking about his Proton, I was looking today on the ANCAP website and some of the crash. The Proton is a very safe car.
Essentially, all the old cars were these Mustang, like they had a rating of like one, and everyone was dying. And being the national brand of Malaysia, the government was being like, "Oh, we probably shouldn't be associated with this brand." So they got Proton to get their shit together, and the whole marketing campaign for the purveyor was, it's like, we haven't fucked up this time, we promise. Mm. Like, it was like, drive it to believe.
Exactly.
It,
Yeah.
generally was, they were all so dangerous, but the new ones, they knew that if they had another car which was dangerous, they'd be fucked. They'd go bankrupt because no one would buy them.
Yeah, like
them.
Three middle-aged Malaysian men on scooters hitting the Proton at once. You'd be fine. If you
go on the ANCAP website, you can see the reports for all the cars and stuff. So all the five-star shit, no one gives a fuck. It's all the same. Like, if any car doesn't have five stars, that doesn't deserve to be bought.
Well, no, like you said, that's their standards, and that should be.
But if you look at the report, though, you can see the exact parts of the car. So the Proton is actually safe. And this is interesting. This proves why it was made in Malaysia. Like, it really shows its connection there.
Yeah, okay.
The whole car, everything is safe. Whether you're in the car, you're perfect. The only place where you are so fucked, it is not funny, is if you are a pedestrian, you get hit. In which you won't have legs.
Well, there you go.
It's like they shows like colours like all over the car. It's just red at the front.
It's good. So Marcel's driving.
This is in Malaysia. You can't hit and run. No one gives a shit.
No, that's good. Malaysian bollard. Kirk.
Like what one thing I did want to say about that, like, when, because Iris obviously didn't know what the Proton brand was, but I think as we were saying before, most cars produced after 2014, including Proton, are just genuinely safe as well.
It's just a standard. It's an expectation.
It is a very good expectation, and I think that's now we've got to a point where we're.
It's not hard for someone to make a car safe. That's why I'm shocked at Ford. Because it's like, how did you fuck it up that much?
Exactly. We've gotten to that point where we just always think that the car's safe, which is why when we found that Mustang having a 2-star safety rating,
it's like they made it from Styrofoam,
which I was aware of, and they got a lot of fire for being. Well, you know what? They're a budget car now. They're produced in mass quantity.
$50,000 is.
But what
you're
getting for $50,000 in terms of a VA?
Has anyone checked? Like, what is it? Does it lack airbags or something?
Yeah, so the structural integrity of the car was ridiculous in terms of not only where they placed the airbags.
Just unsafe, do you mean?
So it was a coupe that copped the fight, which is what.
But does it have not a passenger airbag or something?
I think because the car's...
No,
2 stars is...
Because I'm looking at it. I'm looking at it now, because the car is actually, the report also includes, because the car is such a long... I don't have a link now, but because the car has such a long bonnet and such a small, capsule area, what do they call it? Where the drivers sit. The cockpit area is so small.
Yeah, it's very short. Yeah, it's straight to
the wheelbase is really long. The crumple zone, although it's big, it's just still not everything is not close together. Because the 4-cylinder and the 8-cylinder share the exact same engine. In the 4-cylinder Mustang actually takes up, like my car is 4 cylinders. Yeah, it doesn't take up that much room. So the rest of the space at the front of the car is just air. There's nothing there. So there's really nothing to really crumple.
Actually, that's
together,
a good point. That's a very good point in terms of the engine build of the car. It's impacted huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just amazed how low, like 2 is low. Like,
so I guess now
four is even a bit low, but two,
I guess now you'll probably have to double check from now on. Will you after hearing about this and our surprise,
I'll
would
forget.
You double check?
Just not buy a Mustang.
Yeah,
when you do buy a car, the salesman will be like, "Oh, it has a 5-star ANCAP statement." You're like, "I don't give a shit."
They all do.
Oh,
like,
and it has heated seats. No one gives a crap.
They'll tell you, but
actually,
not that you care.
Wait,
but I feel like they'll still tell you anyway.
Wait,
so I don't feel like you need to Google it anyway.
Wait, does the car have heated seats?
I don't think it does. It's a Mustang.
I'm not getting it. Well, I was got excited for a second because I thought
the tires and see what happens.
I thought the car had heated seats, but you know, cars that do have heated seats cost around $1 million. Well, you'd expect them to.
It feels like it.
You'd expect them to. And now we're going on a bit of a shopping journey. We have an upwards of $1 million price tag. I popped a little link there for you. Actually, no, I haven't. But if you're going to spend upwards of $1 million on a car, I popped down a few options down here. There is the Aventador S, the Ferrari 458 Special, the McLaren 675LT.
Which appreciated like a motherfucker, the 458.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Big time. Big time.
That's now worth so much
money. It's worth $1.5 million now Australian, which is ridiculous, which is almost $1 million US. But what cars would you buy if you had that big dollar wallet that the cash was left in your other pants at home? Which one would you buy?
Well, like, even if you just wanted to buy one, like, which is pretty easy. You start with big car brands, you know, whether it's Ferrari, Mercedes. You can go into like Maybach. You can go anything. You can go to absolutely ham. Is there a dream car you've always had, Ben? Because the chances are it's sub $1 million.
We'll start with Ben. Any cars that what's like the dream car? Anything that comes to mind, but around this $1 million price range, which is basically any car.
Yeah, like, are you a Lambo fan? Are you a Ferrari fan? Are you a Porsche nut? What's exciting?
So it has to be a supercar.
No, whatever you want. It can be the oldest motherfucking piece
Phantom.
Of shit. It can be the newest. It can be the 2018 Phantom Ghost. It can be.
I think the main point here is sorry, there are so many cars that are actually worth around $1 million, which is quite sad that we've gotten to that point.
Probably a Lamborghini Aventador.
Mm-hmm. I think, Ben, you and I are going to be rolling down the same car because I'm going to pick the Aventador S as well.
Yeah.
A nice, you know, on a glazed blue one or something like that.
They're just so hot.
So, yeah, exactly. Oh, they're so good to look at. I think that's going to be my pick.
Another car that's appreciated like a motherfucker.
Oh, yeah, those things start off at $750 and now they're worth around $1 million, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, no, incredible. Marcel, if any car?
Lambo or McLaren.
Lambo and McLaren, that's good. That's down to like 12 or 20 models.
Yeah, you have to pick which one, the Aventador S or the 675LT. I think you've seen, but I know you've
heard. Or a 720S, 540 GT.
Wait, what was it again? Aventador, which one was this?
Aventador S. Corey, maybe you pick while Marcel's looking.
I couldn't. It's too hard to
even. You have to pick.
It's too hard to even decide.
$1 million or zero. What are you picking? Five. Or a 911R. For a billion.
No, I know exactly what I'd have.
Not resale.
I know exactly what I'd have.
What's he going to pick?
A brand new GT2 RS.
For 700. That's actually not a bad. That's
a very good choice.
That is a very. Well, you beat us all around the track.
Beating into crashing into poles, a rear wheel drive, no makeup.
You just set the quickest lap time, and you also paid for your funeral with the extra 300 grand.
Good to know I won't own it for long.
I can confirm I will get them with the McLaren.
Yes, there we go.
I love a Lambo. They're so generic.
The LT, the 720S, which one?
Well, the Aventador. The Aventador. So, our $5 million garage consists of two Aventador S's. What color, Ben?
Orange.
All right. I'm going to go blue.
Orange. Sweet.
Ben has picked an orange car. So, an orange and blue Aventador S, two of them. So, that's $2 million. Corey has picked the GD2 RS.
In Miami blue with the Weisach factory.
Oh, there we go.
What's that? 800 and something? 825, 800 something. 830?
Too much money. And Marcel's picked a glorious
neon
675
green
LT.
As fuck with neon green underlighting.
With
lighting.
Neon green everything.
Everything green.
There we go.
Everything
acid fucking. Yellow. Acid yellow.
That, you know, it's that really like green, you know? It's
I really like that really like, green.
No,
like there's a really nice green on his computer
again,
screen.
The main reason is that it stands out and that it's different. Like,
I love
Lamborghini,
it.
I love them, but
that's
I find they're a
incredible color.
That is a great color.
You get looks.
But you definitely get looks with that. I think
you get looks Jaguar in a McLaren. F-God. Oh, okay.
Hey.
All right, so we are now moving on. Into
oh,
the
shit,
point.
A pink one. That would look pretty sick.
I think if you want to buy a car
much,
like that, it has to be as colorful as possible.
It has to be. It has to fuck
with
eyes.
But moving on, we are now going actual car shopping with Marcel. I'm just looking at him now. He's orgasming or something.
So I found a pink McLaren.
We are looking at, as we know from, I think, episode 2, Marcel wanted to get the next car wants to be an F-Type,
yes.
Which is six-cylinder, 120, 130 grand, if correct me if I'm wrong.
About 130
like
that. With my extras.
Our little session for today.
Because he hasn't built so many on the website.
Actually,
I'm going through the whole settings. I've got a PDF document.
How much? How much with all the extras?
No, they don't give you a price because they're dicks.
Oh, damn.
But I can estimate, I'm going to give myself about 20 grand room.
Okay.
So 110 grand to 130.
So which six-cylinder though? Because there's two and there's three engines. There's a
250
four,
something.
So the max six-cylinder.
It's what I want. I don't give a shit about power, assuming it's a V6. I want the aerodynamic version though.
Yeah, well,
because
that's the only one the six-cylinder comes in.
No. They come with a regular one as well in the lower end. So in the six-cylinder,
really?
There's a basic and there's also the aerodynamic. The basic one, supposedly, it's like driving a golf cart. You just bounce it down like a bitch. But the aerodynamic makes it actually comfortable to drive. And there's other little
perks. So it's different suspension as well.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
I think what we want to talk about now is what other cars. I'm going to increase the budget to around $200,000.
Oh, which in saying that is similar to an F-Type R, which is a V8 version of the F-Type. Same ground.
Can I just quickly ask? Oh my God, Phil was going to say. Ignore that.
Can you look at can we have a look at the LC500?
Oh yes. What is the repayments on $200,000, Kirk?
You would know around $3,000.
Oh, it's not too bad.
$3,000
a month. Because 1.3 was 130 was 2.5.
Yeah, so around $3,000 a month you can get an LC500. Mm. I'm going to pull up some specs here. It is on par
with an 8 cylinder.
It is on par with a Lamborghini Huracan, an 812 Superfast. So the Superfast. That's what's on
par. Can you not just look for speed? Where does it say that?
That's ridiculous.
But I think it's a very nice looking car.
That's nuts.
I think it's a very nice looking car.
My internet's being gay.
It has similar shapes, so it's got a long.
Just like
it's
your
got
car, Marcel.
Proton.
It has. Before we start roasting the Proton again, because we can spend like quite a few hours and episodes on that. I think something to look at is that the F-Type and the LC500 have this really similar body type. You know, the long bonnet at the front and the short kind of cabin at the back.
I guess
that's a lot of frequent styling now in terms of like model design. That's a very popular strength for a lot of those exclusive like coupes and stuff. That whole
sorry, my internet's being a bitch. Oh, okay. Can't even load Google Images.
We thought you were trying to land an aeroplane.
just
what it looked like.
Marcel's I'm getting sick Marcel's of this
just,
shit.
Marcel's just flapping his wings over there. But
no, that LC500 is stunning. That's an incredible looking car. It's sleek. It's got a hint of LFA to it, mostly the RCF range.
Ooh.
But those that odometer and the electric odometer on the front of the dash.
It's futuristic. It is very futuristic.
I don't like the back of that car.
I love it.
The problem is that the roof part comes down and then flattens out. It looks like a VW, like, is it Jetta? Like, you know when they've got that awkward body and then with a circle on top of it? Like where it's not flat. No, again. Honest
Any
opinion.
Volkswagen
the front
ever,
looks
ever.
Fucking hot as fuck. Like, but I find the back, honestly, it looks
When I first looked at the back, I actually thought i8. I kind of look like an i8, if you know what I mean. Does anyone see that?
A lot of triangles.
Yeah, I don't know. When you start talking about shapes.
Shapes is the best way to describe it.
When Marcel talks about shapes, we all just kind of tune out.
Yeah, I know. But
no, I get what you're saying, but that photo looks a lot better. Maybe it's just their shitty photos.
I think that car turns heads.
They sound sick though, that's for sure.
Specs, just from memory, I can't.
Some specs. I'm trying to find them. Meanwhile, Marcel can continue to talk about his
shapes. Yeah, do you want to talk about your shapes?
I can explain this. This is serious.
We're not explaining it.
If anyone's wondering, I classify every car in regards to its looks based off shapes. For example, Alfa Romeo 4C. Too many fucking circles. F-Type. Perfection.
Yeah, I don't. I'm not going to get into this. But the car does.
They don't like my classification methods.
It has
we really don't.
It's effective. I'm sorry,
Christ. In your mind, it is. That's why you bought the Proton. Sorry,
it has like a 6-cylinder F-Type.
It is. So the car is a 351 kilowatt engine. So it's 470 horsepower. Does 0-100 in 4.7 seconds.
See, what is the difference between 4.7 and 5.2? I don't think there's much difference in that.
Quite a bit, because the car has an extra 180 horsepower.
That's like saying what's the difference between a 6-second car and a Golf R at 5.5. That's a huge difference.
It is a very big... Yes, it is.
In a game of seconds now, anything...
But I'm not racing, though. That's the thing.
Yes, but you do.
I just want to fucking knock someone out of the seat.
For example, when I'm sitting in the car with you in the Proton, you want to have that speed. So
I get that, but my only point is that going from a Proton to a 5.2 second car, the difference between 5.2 and 4.7.
That makes sense.
4.7. That is, I just don't know if it's, is it worth $70,000 fucking dollars?
I don't and a bad know. Back? I don't think it is. That it isn't.
But look at your. You bitch about price a lot, like budget, like bang for your buck with your.
I think an extra $70,000, like that thing is slower than a Tesla Model 3. Yeah, and you can get Tesla Model S for $130,000.
But you buy cars.
The interiors are right.
The Lexus is one of the most reliable cars in the world at this very moment. Mm. They're producing incredible cars. I want to say great value, but they're really not because they're just overpriced. I agree. But that car.
When you got that kind of money, who gives a shit?
Yeah, when you got that kind of money for that 8-cylinder Lexus.
When it's your second car ever.
I reckon it looks awesome. I reckon it looks absolutely fantastic, and I reckon it's worth the money they're asking for it. Yeah. Full stop.
Mm, and I think, to be honest, I do like the design of the F-Type, but with the body kit in, not the 6-cylinder. What are they? What's the upgraded
SVR.
Model? SVR. Is that what they? I don't know about.
Yeah, so not the R, but the SVR.
I do actually prefer the regular F-Type over this as well, to be perfectly honest.
One question quickly. This is something I've noticed. I've looked at the interior of the LC500.
It's cream.
There's all different colors. Notice the middle console. Have you guys got a photo? It's got that thing on the right. The F-Type has the same thing. Why the fuck is that a
thing?
Hang
on, I'm trying to have a look at the interior.
What is that? Can you see it, Corey?
Ben, can you tell me what he's thinking? Because I'm so confused.
That there.
Yeah, it's called the Hold On, Watch This.
Yes.
It's called the I'm About To Do Something Stupid.
Because the F-Type has that. I'm like, so I don't want to not allow them to use the aircon. Like, I'm not that mean.
So what Marcel...
Is that what it is?
What Marcel is referring to is a handle. He struggled to describe...
No. Why? I don't understand why there's a handle on the center console. I mean, they've got...
because
it's got bucket seats for fuck's sake. Like,
when people like you drive cars like that, you need handles.
Wait. The handle on the right side above the window of my door, the metal bit which makes it flink up again, is actually broken from people holding it too hard.
There you go.
The handle goes up and down, you know.
We've got our resident insurance claimer here, Anthony Lee. Handles in cars going 120 in corners.
How do your handles go when you go on the corner on the dirt road? When does the kangaroo?
We've got someone else behind me. That likes his handling cars. Quick comment, Anthony. What do you say about
Anthony?
Handles?
Come to the mic, please.
Are handles in cars necessary? Yes or no?
I would say yes.
And why is that, Anthony? Why do you think they're so?
Why
important?
Are they necessary, Anthony?
Just for safety reasons.
For when the kangaroos jump out?
Kangaroos on the road.
Oh, that makes sense. When
you get in the car with any P-Player ever, you're going to want to grab onto something other than the seat or their leg. You just don't feel safe regardless, whether it's a glove or a seatbelt.
As I've learned to trust myself, I now trust anybody.
Well, also, if...
If
Marcel's with a good-looking girl, I think he'd be happy to grab on her leg anyway. But moving on.
Moving on, man.
Oi! Fuck you,
Moving on. Before, because I'm seeing Marcel has a gun in his left hand, so we're just going to move on there.
Yeah, we're just going to get off
but,
the subject.
I'm holding my bicep.
Marcel's raised his bicep.
We're going to talk about protons. I mean recalls.
Fuck yes. Hey, they haven't been recalled yet. They've only had... Wait, is that a recall?
That's...
No, recall...
When they get a thing fixed. When it dumped all its oil.
A recall is when the manufacturer calls back...
It still drives. It's all good. It's not a golf.
No. A recall is when you'll get a letter from the manufacturer maybe a year, 2 years, 3 years after they've been produced and they finally realize that there is an issue with that car they didn't pick up in terms of...
And they fix it?
Well, when they produce it. And they fix it.
Oh, that did happen. Yes.
My girlfriend's mum had a Volkswagen. That was a Tiguan. That was recently
my mum's Golf, because the Golf turned off on freeways and someone died.
That
can
is
I stress
usually
that Anthony Lee was gonna buy a Golf, he'd be dead. Like, he'd be dead.
No crash assist. No.
The Golf would have rolled legit like a ball.
But talking about actual recalls that I'd be concerned about, the G-Wagon, Mercedes-Benz... The G-Wagon was recalled because apparently the power steering occasionally shuts off at low speeds. At low speeds. Not at high speeds, at low speeds.
Oh, well, you'd be fine, Anthony, then.
How does that work?
So the problem is when you go to park at Coles or Safeway, your steering will shut off.
You just keep going forward.
Yeah.
You can't turn.
Is that the power steering
unless you're
in
rig.
The car? Is that what you're talking about?
So this is the power steering. So it's the car will still steer, but because the car is so heavy, cars
do. Oh, it's like it's like moving a brick.
Yeah. Which would be very interesting. I definitely want my car to be recalled now. But it'd be interesting. Would I take my car back to the dealership? Yes, but depending on how long it would take, I guess.
Oh, they're incredibly inconvenient, and I mean, so long as
I've noticed.
In terms of, like, you would.
It's a weekly affair of mine.
But so long as the actual car manufacturer manages it properly, and they give you a service like a free loan car, and they treat it all right, then I'm okay. I'm content just to know that the car's a little bit safer, and they've done everything possible to make sure it's fine. It drives well. You wouldn't buy a G-Wagon and then find out years later that it doesn't steer properly. And I mean, some people. Yeah, that's a really dangerous issue. That's huge. Steering isn't something you fault in a car.
You want the car to turn.
Any last comments on this, Ben? Would you be concerned if your car lost steering?
Definitely.
Definitely.
Nah, it's all good. She'll be right.
Yeah, I think if my car lost steering. But, you know, Ben's,
hold my hand at the window,
Ben's
going to
head off now. Well, thank you for hopping onto this podcast for now.
I'm just going to... The territory was recalled...
We've got someone else talking here.
Yeah, Hicks, come down to the mic.
Hicks.
This is we've got a multi-guest podcast today, but
Hicks is five, six close. People.
Hello there. Hello. A little bit closer. Is this going to work?
Yeah,
yep. Good. Hi. So,
Talk about your territory, Higgs.
Well, the territory, there was a current affair episode, and they showed basically a territory which was the freaking front wheels fell off and went in two directions.
Wow.
That'd be interesting.
Please tell me that was a rear-wheel drive territory.
Well...
Was it? Yeah, that makes a bit of sense.
Mad wheelies.
Yeah, so that'd be interesting. But thank you, Ben, for joining today. But that was Lockie that wanted to also add that territory comment. Oh, okay. I'm not sure where I put that, but talking about big recalls, a airbag company called Takata recalled.
That's a Japanese company.
Japanese company. They recalled 50 cars plus have to be recalled, including the Subaru Impreza, Mazda 6, Mitsubishi Lancer, Lexus, Jeep, Honda, so many cars, and 5 BMW models. All have to be recalled because of airbag issues. So if you got any of those cars, I guess you can kind of check on the website.
Well,
because
I'm sure you've been notified by now.
Yeah.
That's pretty ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. If you've got the Beamer, you probably don't need to because you probably replace your airbags 8 times.
Amazing.
Oh, you're dead already.
your indicators don't work. Zing. One of the above. And there is one more recall. Oh, that's right. The Aston Martin DB11 V8 Vantage was recalled. A very expensive car.
There were 7 owners out there.
Something ridiculous. All 7 of the owners. 58 vehicles affected, in fact.
58.
Can I just mention how nice looking this car looks in black? Have you seen this?
Just in general. That car is one of the most attractive cars.
Beautiful.
Ever.
That is the most...
That's hot as fuck.
That is the most perfectly designed
car.
Did
they not say on that YouTube channel the F-Type was...
Was...
Cheap.
Yes, it was. Yes, it is.
Was it this one?
In Salamander's YouTube channel, they did say the F-Type is a cheap Aston Martin V8 Vantage. So when you cannot afford one of these, you skimp out and get an F-Type. Zing!
But it's okay
because... It is okay because I would not spend over that much money when I can get an F-Type as well.
I'm pretty sure here they're 400 and something to 450.
Way too much. I'd much prefer to get a Turbo S at that price because I could also put it on the track as well. And
oh my God, guys, get excited. Trending news. Honda Jazz on sale.
There's a Honda Jazz.
It's on the website, the top trending.
Okay.
Sorry, right, I just saw that.
Sorry.
Facelifted Honda
actually,
Jazz.
On topic, Honda Jazz
fuck,
or F-Type?
That's pimped as fuck.
Honda Jazz or F-Type?
Oh,
I think
Honda Jazz.
Honda Jazz.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Honda Jazz. If you put
if you want to pull girls.
If you put a fat wang on there.
you see, guys, the interior is actually really nice.
Wait, is it actually?
It's actually not that bad. Legit, it's got push button start and everything. The button's red.
Oh, it's got push button start.
The button's red too.
Don't push my buttons. Do not.
But this car is red, so it must. Oh, it's orange.
I'm just
going to go faster.
Before we get stalled on Honda Jazzes, I want to play a little game with you guys, just to send us off and to put us in our own happy place. It's going to be the fuck, marry, kill game, but we're going to try it with cars.
I've got 4 lines lined up.
I've got sedans,
SUVs, sport car, and supercars. So we're playing fuck, marry, kill. You have to fuck one of them, you have to marry one of them, and you have to kill one
obviously
of them.
Obviously, we don't encourage fucking a car. This is more.
Oh, we do.
This is WRX.
We do.
What? We do now. No, this is more, what kind of car would you have a ridiculous, like, hauling ass sesh? Like, what would you fuck?
Oh, so the fucks haul ass, the marries, like daily driver, kills.
Nah, let's not.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right.
Okay, yeah.
But I think we should also look at it as fuck, marry, and kill. Like, fuck, you want the quick, you know, the quick bang bang.
No, that makes
the
sense.
Marry,
I, was like,
that actually
made, I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, the
sense.
Marry you have to spend your rest of your life with, and the kill you don't want to have anything
so
to deal
marry
with.
Marry daily driver that'll never keep you disappointed most of the time.
Can we say marry but include a divorce after 6 years?
No.
No. Because you've killed the other option.
The other one you've already left.
I can't drive a car for 60 years, I don't think.
That's not the point. That's the point is fuck, marry, kill. Something that you want
even
to
even a Volvo.
Just make it easy. Three cars.
Okay, sure.
You guys always overcomplicate things. And when I say you guys, I'm pointing to Marcel. Because it's him and his ego. So, we've got the sedans. We have the sedans. So, huge. So, fuck, marry, kill. So, the first couple are the Audi A4.
Yes. So, wait, is that the hat? No, it isn't.
No,
that's the small sedan. Yep,
that's
sorry,
why I've been
saying
sedans. You might want to search these up if you don't know what they are.
No, intense.
Audi A4, the CLA45.
Yep.
Non-AMG. I think it does.
So what's that, a 70 grand car? That's a pretty...
These are the same price. CLA45.
Yep.
Or BMW 3 Series.
Do you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
You go first.
Okay, I'll marry the BMW 3 Series, Audi A4, and CLA. I marry the CLA, I'd fuck the Audi and kill the BMW.
You know what? That's exactly what I would do as well. I'd be happily to marry the CLA.
The CLA would be the best time of your life. It gives you the arrogance. It's nice. It's clean on the inside. It looks awesome on the outside. I'd fuck the shit out of the Audi just because I know it would actually be okay. And yeah. You know what? Sequential taillights and shit is doing it for
exactly.
me now.
Exactly.
And
she
I'd
looks
kill
nice.
The fuck out of the BMW before it's
done. I agree. As long as the Mercedes is
her
in matte, like, fuck black.
Her indicators
fuck.
Or eyes are twitchy, and that's like a sign.
Yeah, no, exactly. All right,
now, see, I would fuck the Audi so I can marry the Mercedes.
Oh, I like the thinking there. I like the thinking there. Because you can't have both of them in the relationship.
I mean, you got to choose one in the end, and
yeah, true.
I would
and
choose
he'd marry the BMW.
Oh, what?
You have to. You just
I would
marry.
Hang the BMW out.
No, you yeah, it's fuck. Oh wait, no, that's true. He did. Yeah.
Burn
okay.
Beamer.
So fuck the
right.
Audi.
Right.
So
yeah.
Fuck Audi. Oh no, don't fuck Audi. I love Audi. No, fuck the Audi. No, fuck. Let's do it.
Marcel, we get
what
you
get
mean,
what I mean.
And then you kill the BMW.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on.
You do the same.
I do the same. Fuck the Audi. Marry the CLA and kill the Beamer and run the Beamer over with the CLA. Okay. Next up, we have SUVs.
Oh God!
These are budget SUVs, by
Suvs.
The way.
These
are SUVs, Suvalaki.
Suvalakis.
Okay, so we have the Mazda CX-9.
Oh!
You have to fuck, marry, and kill, by the way.
I don't mind them. I really don't.
The Mazda CX-9, the Holden Captiva, or the Ford Territory.
Oh, I'd marry the Ford Territory. I'd
wait. Four-wheel drive.
It's
or rear-wheel drive.
Speaking so.
Both. And
no,
you can have two of them.
SUVs.
Rear-wheel drive.
Is the
real
Territory
drive.
A four-wheel drive or a rear-wheel drive?
Oh, four-wheel drive.
More expensive.
Oh, is the Mazda a four-wheel drive or a rear-wheel drive?
Four-wheel drive.
Okay, cool.
Anyway, they're all four-wheel
drive.
Yeah,
sorry, continue.
SUVs.
Is this new Ford Territory?
These are all new.
Oh.
I'd marry the Ford Territory. I'd fuck the... What was the other one?
Mazda.
No, the other one.
The Holden Captiva.
I'd fuck the Captiva because then I know later it's going to
go looks like a pregnant
barina. Catch some license plates.
Mm.
And then I'd kill the Mazda CX-9 because fuck Mazdas. No, I'm not... I don't
I'm
like
sorry. I'm gonna
I have a different opinion.
I'm going to fuck the Mazda and I'm going to marry the Ford Territory. I'm going to kill the Holden Captiva.
I'm
going to
marry the Mazda.
Wow.
Marry the Mazda, fuck the Territory... And burn the Captiva.
Actually, I think I agree with Marcel here.
I prefer them. The new territories are so generic. They're so boring and as shit.
But so that's just like your wife.
Well,
I guess.
Wait, no, what? No,
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 wait,
no,
you're,
no,
you're
no. Fuck the territory.
Right, so just
because
like
I don't want to live with a Ford territory.
It's like
your
regular
live
prostitute.
Mazda.
That's
so
fair
why
enough.
Why don't you just kill the Ford?
Hmm.
If you don't want to live with it.
Because the Captiva gives me cancer. It's a pregnant barina. Like, what the fuck is that grill? Like, it's just.
Marcel, the question is, does it have circles like a pregnant lady? Moving on. Sorry,
it's quite rounded,
car,
actually, opposed to the Mazda.
So, these are all, in fact, two of these cars are 120K. Actually, they're all 120K base. Are we ready?
Yep.
Okay, I have a bit of an issue because I've not written the right car down. One second. Oh, right, okay. Right, cool. Okay, so, first one is the Audi TTS Quattro, which is 120 grand new. The Lotus Elise. So, do you want to spell that out? Do you want to pop that in your computer so you can see? Or the Jaguar F-Type.
Marry. So
I'd marry the
hard.
Jag. Fuck the... What was the first one?
The Audi.
Marry Jag, fuck Lotus, kill Audi. Done.
I do opposite.
You said you weren't going to kill the Audi.
I'd marry the Jag.
Yeah, but I like Lotus because Proton.
Oh my God.
Right.
Support
the
family.
Marry the Jag, fuck the Audi.
No, I like Lotuses.
Wait, are you fucking the family then?
Oh, fuck, man. Dude. No, I like Lotuses. I find them different. But I found... You know I don't like TTs that much. Like, I like them, but not enough.
I think I'd fuck the Audi, marry the Jag, and kill the Lotus.
I just want to flog a Lotus on a track really hard and just see if I can spin it out.
I've never driven a Lotus.
It's like it's literally a go-kart.
They are, actually. That's a good representation of them. All right, so last one is our supercars.
F-type.
Supercars now.
Okay.
So, this is what I call the trinity of cars at around $400,000 starting off.
Dollar.
So, first up, Lamborghini Huracan, Audi R8 V10 Plus, or Porsche Turbo. What are
I've
we doing?
Got my
this
opinion.
Is really hard.
All right. So, I think this time, not say anything, we're going to start off with our fuck and we all have to say it at the same time.
Hang on.
Wait.
Okay.
Huracan, Audi, and the other one.
And the turbo.
This is really hard.
The port, that's right.
This is really hard.
So, all right, we're going to say...
Wait, is this... We're doing fucks first?
We're going to go... We have to do it, like... We can't all say it at once because we won't be able to hear it. So, we'll go bang, right. bang, bang.
All right.
So, Corey first.
So, all right,
so have you got something in your mind? I know what I'm fucking. Do you know what you're fucking?
Yeah, no, I'd fuck the
ready?
Lambo. I'd fuck the Lambo.
Ooh, okay.
Muscle?
Porsche.
Huracan.
Okay.
Ooh, okay.
Who would you marry? Kirk, you go first.
Turbo.
Huracan.
Turbo. Easy turbo.
And so, wait, what are we killing? The R8.
So, I'm killing the R8.
We're all killing the R8.
Wow.
There you go. Howdy.
Because the R8 does, if anything, that's a kind of unfair ground.
Mm. Mm. They cost the same, though. They cost the same.
The R8 are beautiful cars. The Lambos are in a league of their own. They're just ballistic. They're out there. They're going
for They can turn more heads.
Mary, what was the other one?
Turbo Porsche.
Did anyone notice the fact that I said I want a daily Huracan?
A car to a Porsche Turbo.
Yeah, I had to put it in there. It was the same price.
Did we just miss that?
Miss what?
That I want a daily Huracan.
Oh. I think we all do.
Mary. Yes. I want a daily fucking Huracan and do it.
You fucked the Porsche.
Yes.
Oh.
Say you didn't listen, did you? I say I want to try daily a fucking Huracan.
Before I fuck the Porsche.
I would literally bring ramps with me in the boot. Like the whole you know, 10 centimeters square boot.
I don't want to know. I don't want to know how it happens.
Well, that'd be so much fun.
There
my God.
On that note, Marcel and Corey and I have all decided what we got, our relationships are going to be for the next few years. But Marcel, where can we find you?
Instagram.com/MarcelReese. Facebook.com/MarcelReese. Instagram.com/hello. Fuck. Oh my God.
All right, too bad.
Fuck, I'm done.
Corey, where can we find you?
I'm out.
Corey Holman with two N's.
Why? Like
that. On the Instagram.
One N was taken.
You can find my details in the description below. But thank you everyone for watching episode number 4 already of the Project Cars podcast. And we will see you all next time. I got Marcel on my right, Corey in front of me. Thanks for watching. Listening.
F-type.
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 There we go.
Proton.